Okay, it's time to talk wheels. It's the Car Guy Show with automotive consumer tips, industry updates, interviews, and enthusiast news. If you care about cars, this show's for you. Now you're tuned in, so let's get tuned up with your host. Here he is, Steve Ford, the Car Guy.
Hello and welcome to another segment of the Car Guy Show here, coming at you from the broadcast tower of News Talk 990 KTMS. We're connecting you to automotive consumer and enthusiast news, insights, and interviews anywhere you're hearing our signal in Santa Barbara and the surrounding communities. In today's program, we got a treat for you. We're going to move over to put a topic up on the lift that's going backward in time again in the rearview mirror, but our guest and the periodic co-host of the Car Guy Show, Roy Ace Miller, will join us straight ahead to talk about how there was actually a founder in the automotive industry, an early pioneer who was a legend, and his name was Henry Leland, and he was the founder of two of the premier marques in the automotive marketplace in the United States of America in the early 20th century. And those marques were Cadillac and Lincoln. And if you didn't know, they were both created by the same magician of sheet metal hardware and the engineering behind the two brands, Cadillac and Lincoln. We'll tell you all about that when we come back from these messages from our sponsors who make this show possible. Thanks for tuning in to the Car Guy Show. I'm Steve Ford. We'll be right back. You're tuned in to News Talk 990 KTMS.
So you're one of those lucky car enthusiasts who has the privilege of owning a rare, vintage, antique, or maybe one of those British specialty cars, the kind that makes heads turn and brings compliments at stoplights. Let's say a Model A Ford, a 29 Buick, or one of those stunning Packards from the 1930s. But one of the challenges of these rare vehicles is finding an auto professional who can wake up that historic machine so the engine will sing that special tune, or have headlights that both glow equally. Maybe just an old-fashioned tune-up the way it used to be, or even servicing that other ancient device, a carburetor. Sounds like a long time ago? Not at East West Motors, where servicing, repairing, and reviving mechanical gems is a daily craft. Owned and operated by a veteran Concours d'Elegance judge who knows what 100-point quality looks like. At East West Motors, you experience what 100-point collector car service feels like. Call 965-7003. That's 965-7003. It's the best shop this side of Radiator Springs.
My name is Roy Miller, and I approve of this message.
When it comes to keeping your wheels looking like new, whether you're a passionate car buff or a daily commuter who simply seeks the best in value and integrity, there's a name in Santa Barbara that fits both profiles. Tri-County Auto Glass. Today's auto glass installers all have to service more sophisticated and precise automobiles than just a decade ago. And while the majority of auto glass businesses have state-of-the-art tools and equipment, what we all know is harder to find are the industry-certified craftspeople and the highest levels of customer service, which is why Tri-County Glass customers range from Concours d'Elegance level show car owners to everyday family sedan and pickup truck owners. Rock chip repairs or glass replacement with lifetime repair credit and 30 years in Santa Barbara. While a positive word of mouth reputation may bring you in, courtesy, quality, and that new window glass shine will bring you back. Tri-County Auto Glass, downtown Santa Barbara. Call them or stop in for a quote on a window repair or replacement today. 963-6200. That's 963-6200.
I'm Scott Budo, owner, manager, and a certified auto glass technician. At Tri-County Auto Glass, we are about quality, safety, and value.
In the old-time movies, you used to see an automobile junkyard as a place with rusty old wrecks and big cranes scrapping obsolete machines. Those days were black and white, and today's a world of digital full color. And in the new era of the green car, Steelhead Auto Recycling is at the leading edge of used auto parts. As new and future cars approach 100% recyclability, more than 70% of even older car and truck parts find new life as they come back in service at Steelhead Auto Recyclers, which means huge savings for you. You'll save on major parts such as engines and transmissions, but you can also repair and refresh your wheels with money-saving body trim and accessory parts from hubcaps to glass, doors, fenders, taillights, and accessories. With a full-service counter and national parts search power and the new self-service section at Steelhead Auto Recycling, you'll save both ways. Plus the security of a full 90-day warranty on all parts. Digital on the web at buyused.net or analog by phone at 683-8557. That's 683-8557. Steelhead Auto Recycling.
Hey, you know about getting the job done right. If you want it done right, do it yourself. Well, that's what car and truck buffs, owners of classics, custom cars, and wise consumers know when they visit Daily Car Bath, Santa Barbara's downtown coin-operated car wash supercenter for more than 40 years. After discovering Daily Car Bath for my own cars, I've returned to give my machines the superior wash and cleaning care that all car buffs appreciate. At Daily Car Bath, you'll find premium hog's hair wash brushes with conditioned soft water and five stalls with foaming high-sudsing auto shampoo that literally floats debris off your vehicle's finish, along with consistent high-pressure washing and available non-acid low-pressure wheel and tire cleaner. And for that special finish, DI&I spot-free rinse to help dissolve and eliminate mineral spot and spray wax formulated with clear coat protectant included in the cycle. See why Daily Car Bath is known as the place where customers send their friends. And take it from a fellow car buff. When it comes to the best in car care appearance, you'll find it all at Daily Car Bath. Open 24 hours a day at the corner of Anacapa and Cota Streets. Quality, economy, and that showroom shine. And we are back. Thanks for tuning into the Car Guys Show here on News Talk 990 KTMS. We're going to move into history right now with Roy Miller. We come over to you, Ace Miller, and most people in Santa Barbara who bring you their cars call you Roy Miller, but few, and I'm privileged among them, know that you had early days before you were married, but when you could take risks, you were driving as a race car driver in British sports cars. What was that sports car you raced?
Well, primarily it was an Austin Healey Sprite, termed SECA Races, Sports Car Club of America.
Yeah.
How did you get known as Ace Miller? That's
well,
trivia.
I was not only racing cars for part of that period of my life, but I was also an instructor at Riverside Raceway.
I didn't know that. There's some stuff. I'll bet you people in the audience who know you may not know that you are a driving instructor.
It's not a very well-known chapter of my life.
Yeah.
Not that I'm ashamed of it. I had some great times, and I enjoyed it immensely.
Yeah.
Immensely. It was wonderful.
Yeah.
And like so many other things in life, Steve, you've been a teacher for a number of years.
Yeah.
With automobile technology.
Right.
When one teaches other individuals about what one knows,
yep.
One many times learns more about that subject. And that just applies to all sorts of things in life. And it happened to me while I was teaching race car driving at Riverside. An amazing experience.
Yeah.
Enjoyed it very much. Anyway, bottom line to all that, the way that ACE name came about for me, is that this used to take place on the weekend, Saturday and Sunday out there. And when there weren't regular races, when Riverside was just empty, basically, and it was available for these kinds of things.
Yeah.
And so there was a writer for, I'm trying to think of the name of the magazine. It doesn't exist anymore. It was a car magazine. It was something like, I think it was called Car Life. I don't remember anymore. And he had a Porsche. He had a new Porsche that he wanted to do a road test on, write a story about it.
Right.
And so I wound up being, because I didn't have that many students that particular time,
yeah.
Or I had more that were coming later on. He and I, it was decided amongst the people who were in charge at the time, I would go with him, and we would use a part of the racetrack that wasn't being utilized, considered a turn eight back then, a long course.
Yeah.
And so he and I would work together, and I'd give impressions of the Porsche, and he would write about it, he'd take pictures. So we had this Porsche, this 911, and I made it go fast, I made it go through turns, and all sorts of things like that, and I gave him my impression.
So you had to go around the track, and he was sitting there with his camera on that one turn?
Exactly, on that one turn. I'd go back and forth, and I'd stop really quick, and I'd try to accelerate quickly. That was it. We shook hands, and he thanked me for the help, and I didn't think a lot about it. Well, a month or two or however long it takes for these things to get on the newsstand, I got a copy of the magazine, and there I was. I was being quoted in this road test magazine.
Yeah.
Oh, I think it was called Road Test. Anyway, regardless.
Yeah.
In the text, he introduced me as Ace Race Car Driver Roy Miller, and a few other people saw the article, and so I started getting called Ace back then when I was still racing. It was... in a joking way, very kind of fun.
It's great, because
So that's how the whole thing came to be.
And I have known you since 1994.
Yeah.
And
along the way, when we did the radio show back in 94, 95, 96, I learned somewhere along that point that you were known as Ace Miller in your early driving days. I never knew this story. This is anecdotal. And it's good stuff, because every time we talk and every time we catch up at your shop or when we're doing a show or a discussion or interviewing somebody else, I always think of you, obviously, when I refer to you as Ace Miller, as this guy who's known as Ace Miller in the racing days. And I bet you could jump into a Sprite or an MG and go out on Riverside if it existed today, and you know the turns, you know the line to drive, you know the switchbacks, you know the hairpins. And if I didn't know you were an instructor. So for the audience, you are listening to The Car Guy Show on News Talk 990 KTMS with two enthusiasts who are buddies in the car world. And I am privileged to always connect with you, Roy, talking about motoring, the wheel world, new cars, old cars, history. And today, you know, you have the alphabet of brands in your brain. I mean, I know for folks that know you in the automotive community, they would know that you are chief judge of the Palos Verdes Concord Elegance, and you were chief judge of the Santa Barbara Concord Elegance. Oh, you had the opportunity to be having expertise and leadership in looking at collector cars and brands and lineage and what is a tiebreaker between a 99-point car and a 100-point car. So one of your favorite cars, I think I can say, accurately say, not the favorite, because you have so many that the brands that you respect, but I've kidded you before we did this conversation today. I always, folks, I tell Roy, I call him up, I say, you know, we got to talk about all these brands because I can't believe Pierce Arrow is one of the most famous brands, and they made bird cages at the start, right?
That's very true.
What else did they make?
Well, they were really known for excellent bicycles.
So bicycles and bird cages, and then they made outstanding automobiles.
Well, in time, they definitely did. They were world class.
Do you know how Pierce Arrow shifted over to make bicycles and bird cages to automobiles?
I think they had to hire a few more people.
What was the moment?
Well, that's a really good question. I don't know if anyone's really gotten into that in depth. It's just,
hey, I'll give you a car guy. I'll give you a car guy guess.
Okay.
They failed at birdcage making.
So what do? You start making cars, right?
That's what I'm thinking. Yeah, you know, it's like no one would come out and say that necessarily, but hey, you know, nobody's buying our bird cages. Why don't we just make a car?
Yeah.
Ace Miller.
It seems like a normal transition, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Ace Miller, we have you from Riverside Raceway with the memories of driving at speed with a rider taking photos of you and coining the phrase Ace Driving Instructor, or Ace Driver Roy Miller. I marvel and reminisce. When I was in Detroit, I'd call you and tell you about my discoveries because I was so intrigued. You'd laugh with me, and I'd talk about being in the Packard building or the Model T birthplace building or over in front of the Cadillac plant or where Leland and Faulkner, folks might understand if they're historians at all. Henry Leland was the first guy he worked for the Springfield Firearms Company back in the Civil War, and his hero was Abraham Lincoln, and Henry Leland did not want his name on the vehicle that would bear his engineering. He was involved with a Cadillac, but that's
an interesting character study. I mean, he's truly one of my heroes, historically, because he sought perfection, and he had a passion that was unending for what eventually became automobiles. I mean, you're right. He started off with in the arms. Yeah. The beginning of real precision manufacturing took place. And the most precise thing that was being built during the 19th century, certainly during the latter part of the 19th century, were firearms.
Yeah.
There was nothing more precise than whatever they were producing. And so some of the greatest machinists and closest tolerances in manufacturing gave birth in that area. And that was like the place to go for what in those days would be considered high tech, which would mean very precise machining.
Well, let me go tighter, no pun intended. Actually, pun intended. I'm thinking Henry Leland was a guy who was a firearms machinist, and he had been machining tolerances that would require 1/10,000th of an inch. And the automotive industry was dealing with 1/1,000th of an inch. Now, what I gather, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I think you would agree, we don't even have to look up the fact that when you're dealing with firearms, it's not uncommon to deal with 1/10,000th of an inch clearance for very precise mechanisms inside of a firearm. In an automobile, up until the point Henry Leland got involved in the early 1900s, automobiles were built pretty crude. And you couldn't take a piston from one cylinder and put it into another cylinder because each cylinder and each piston were sort of cut and formed to work with each other. Is that fair to say?
That's correct. I mean, okay. On all levels, it was that way.
So folks, what I'm getting at is Roy's the one who taught me what I'm telling you, but I'm giving it back to the teacher, speaking of teachers, Ace. And what I understood from you was that effectively you got a four-cylinder engine and four pistons. They're all intended to fit the same size cylinder bore, that is cylinder size, but each one of the pistons, because they're so crudely formed and cast, may be slightly different. So you couldn't take the number one piston and put it in the number four hole. You'd have to put the number one piston in the number one hole, the number two piston in the number two hole. They would be cut and formed and finished to fit in relationship to each other. Henry Leland came into the industry and said, I've had enough of that. I see where we can do better. And he made parts. He was the first to bring in parts interchangeability.
That's exactly what he became known for. Right.
Well, let me give it back to the teacher. Let's talk about Henry Leland for a minute.
Well, the Leland and Faulkner was the premier machine shop in the Detroit area. And they took on all sorts of things. But one thing that they got involved in was making engines for a fellow whose name was Ransom Eli Old.
Ooh, we know that name.
Well, it's old as in Oldsmobile.
Absolutely.
Interesting names they had back then.
Yeah.
Ransom,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, Ransom.
And the reason that happened is the Oldsmobile factory that was being built had a fire. It was unfortunately not a very uncommon thing because
everything was wood.
Being out of wood back then.
Yeah.
So they were still pressing on to put Oldsmobiles into production, and they needed outside sources, and they went to Leland and Faulkner, this well-respected and well-established machine shop in Detroit,
yes,
to produce the engines for the Oldsmobile. And Henry Leland, of course, was the proprietor of that establishment and continued on building engines for these people for Oldsmobile.
So let me get this straight, Ace.
Okay.
Henry Leland was the machinist selected by Ransom Eli Oldsmobile. No, excuse me, I'm taking liberty there. Ransom Eli Olds. Oldsmobile was the car that was to come later, right?
Yeah.
Or the car that Leland was contributing to. Ransom Eli Olds selected Henry Leland of the machine shop Leland and Faulkner in Detroit to be the people that would assemble that, what was it, a one-cylinder?
It was a one-cylinder engine, yeah.
For the curved-dash Olds.
That's correct.
Okay. So basically, right from the get-go, we have Henry Leland being of a caliber of machinist that when Ransom E. Olds, who, by the way, was the first to be the, was the, wasn't it the first, let's see, was it the first brand that came under, no, Buick was the first brand under General Motors later.
I think it was with David Buick William Durant, first approach. I think there was that relationship in the very beginning.
Right. So that's years later, right?
Yeah.
So right now we've got Ransom E. Olds operating. I guess what the audience would appreciate is, folks, what I'm getting at is when Ransom E. Olds made a decision about selecting a vendor, let's just say, Roy, would you agree? He picked the best machine shop in Detroit.
Yes, indeed. That was definitely a requirement. And Leland came through with flying colors. He just did a great job. And the Oldsmobile, not a very long period of time, was the most popular car in the world. It sold more than any other brand of car. This is 1899, 1900.
Is that the curved-dash Olds?
Yeah.
What was the first year?
I think it was 1900, I believe.
Right at the turn of the century. And it could have been 1901, but we're splitting hairs.
He actually was making engines, Olds was. Somewhat industrial, and in some instances for marine, for boats.
Yeah.
But he hadn't built a car yet, and that was the next thing in line. So he came up with this engine that was the powerhouse for this new car that he was.
You talk powerhouse. We're talking one cylinder.
One cylinder.
13 horsepower. Something like
that. That might have been optimistic.
Yeah. I mean,
car didn't weigh very much.
And it probably redlined at like 1,300 RPM.
Probably on the outside, because Because my Model T pretty much redlines at 2,000 RPM.
There you go. You have to shift quickly when you max out at 2,000 RPM,
yeah,
right?
Indeed. Yeah. Or things go flying.
Yeah.
Here.
Yeah. So you have this Henry Leland, folks. If you're tracking with us, this is a history topic for today with Ace Miller, and we're talking about the fact that Henry Leland is a name you may not have ever heard before, or if you're inside the car culture, you might have heard his name. He also, Roy, I'm jumping forward, but I figure if the audience is not sure whether they want to hear a history class today, we'll spice it up and we'll tell them, get this, Ace Miller, instructor, Automotive History 101, here on the Car Guy Show, out of Santa Barbara, Ventura, on 990 KTMS. Here's a lesson for you. Ace, true or false, Henry Leland gets the credit for being the founder of Lincoln and the chief engineer of Cadillac.
It's all true. The same individual started the two premium brands of automobiles in America.
Is that incredible, folks?
Yeah.
So
yeah,
people,
really
there's there's something really cool to know that you have, when you stop and think about it, Cadillac, we used to say until Lexus came along and now BMW and Audi are dominating the luxury car products, Lincoln and Cadillac, you know, Cadillac was the benchmark. You'd say this is the Cadillac of shavers, the Cadillac of ballpoint pens, the Cadillac of washing machines, whatever. Cadillac was the benchmark, right?
In those days, their slogan was standard of the world, and they had every right to say that. They
yeah.
were really, in those days, you know, the make of elegance and luxury,
yeah,
that equals or didn't excel just about anything else in the world.
Cadillac was the benchmark, and
yes,
people may not realize what we're saying is Henry Leland started his journey as the chief engineer of the Cadillac Automobile Company. Can I wind it even tighter on trivia and intrigue, Ace?
Yeah.
Let me test myself as a student of yours. So Henry Leland stepped over in to become the chief engineer of Cadillac when Henry Ford had a blowout with his board of directors in the Henry Ford Automobile Company in Detroit.
Well, yeah, see, it was a very close-knit family.
This is an incestuous business in Detroit,
yeah.
Ace.
Well, let's take it a step further. Because of that little arrangement, the very first Cadillac that went into production in 1903, the chassis, for the most part, was designed and built by Henry Ford.
Crazy. People don't know that, unless they're history buffs.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Well, keep going. Henry Leland comes over to inspect. Henry Ford's had a fallout with the board of directors of the Henry Ford Automobile Company, right?
That's right. The Ford Motor Company, as we know it today, was the third company that Henry Ford was involved in.
Go ahead and expand on that. People might
Ford.
Not know. Where 1903 was the founding of the Ford Motor Company, people
yep.
may not know. That
yeah.
was the third iteration?
Yes. Yeah.
That's probably where Three's the Charm came from.
That could well be.
When did Ford start? In 1899? What?
No, a little bit earlier. His first is quadricycle. Goes back probably to around 1896.
Right, but that wasn't a car company. His first
car company.
His venture,
right.
I think 1899, the Detroit Automobile Company.
Yeah, when he
Is
was,
right?
You know, proving his worth with racing on ice and all that, and you know, with you know, trying to make a name for himself, so he could find. Henry Ford didn't come from money, and so he for a long, long time was constantly trying to find investors to believe in him.
Yeah.
And so he tried lots of different things, including racing this car, which is still in existence, by the way, 999.
The 999 with and Henry. That's another story. And we got
that's
time, Ace.
Yeah.
Just briefly, as we go back and educate the audience a little bit for those that are new to some of these details of 110 years ago. Wouldn't we say, in fairness to him, I think he might agree, if he were alive today, he would be a hot rodder. He would be somebody who would be fabricating and building his own car.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, he was a tinkerer, and you know, he had a real desire to create these early vehicles, and you know, he just if it didn't work, he tried something else. I mean,
sure.
He wasn't, let's put it this way, he wasn't a highly educated person.
But he was a genius.
Yeah, he was. But I'll tell you where his genius was from what I've been able to recollect.
Yeah.
He had the right people.
I know I'm kind of kidding you, and you're going to understand my humor or my attempt at humor here. When you say, from what I'm able to recollect, you weren't there.
True.
I hope you weren't there. Okay.
Well, there are from days I feel that old.
Hey, so from what you've understood from the literature and your overall reading over the years, is that fair to say?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, I wish you had hung out with him what's his name? Childs or...
Child was his first name. He went by...
What was his chief engineer?
His name was Child Harold Wills.
Yes, thank you.
And he hated the name Child. Here again, another name from that era. And so he went by the name of Harold Wills.
Yeah.
And he was the one that really, truly engineered the Model T.
So he was kind of like what Phil Remington is to Carroll Shelby.
Yeah, right. Yeah, or Leo Goosen was to Harry Miller.
Thank you. That's good. This is stuff that really, now we're really stretching history buffs, right?
Yeah, well.
So Henry Ford had two companies before 1903, before he got to the Ford Motor Company.
It was
the Detroit Automobile Company in 1899, the Henry Ford Automobile Company in 1901, disbanded in 1902. Henry Leland is invited to come over from Leland and Faulkner to inspect the former Henry Ford Company. Henry Ford takes his name with him in 1902. He can do what he wants with it. He takes his engine with him. Now the board of directors who have a shop that's empty, they have a chassis and they have a bunch of employees, and they call Henry Leland. Correct me if I'm wrong. I'm in the ballpark, right, so far?
So far.
They bring over Henry Leland to inspect the operation and decide whether they should scrap it or what they should do. And Henry Leland comes over to inspect the operation, and he says, I think we can get something going here. You've got the basic chassis. And by the way, I happen to have an engine.
Yep.
Henry Leland has an engine, and he doesn't have a customer to buy that engine yet. But now he has a customer.
Well, or manufacturing
itself,
yeah.
And that
goes back to Oldsmobile. Ransom Olds was offered that engine.
Yes.
And
turned it down.
He looks at Leland and says, we're selling only cars we can sell. Why do we need your engine? We're
Thank
doing just
you.
Fine with our own engine.
This is such a cool story, Roy.
The way it played out. And so so the engine was kind of like on the back burner. And then these people from, these investors from Ford came along and said, what are we going to do with this car company? The Henry Ford's not going to go anywhere.
And we need an engine.
We need an engine.
I love
it. Says, I happen to have one in stock.
In stock, on the drawing board.
On the drawing board, so to speak.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Roy, I love this.
Yeah.
So for the audience, am I right if I say to you, Roy, we're talking about the birth of Cadillac. So Henry Leland has an engine. He's a machinist. Comes from manufacturing firearms. Turns out he's a great machinist. The backers of former backers of Henry Ford, they've got a chassis without an engine.
That's correct.
And Henry Leland has an engine. And that was the wedding that made, they didn't want to name it anything else. What'd they call it?
Well, Leland was a very modest man. The backers, the people that were backing Henry Ford said, well, okay, we're not going to call it a Ford, obviously. Let's call it a Leland. And Leland, being a modest individual, he says, no, I'm not sure about that. Well, what are we going to call it? They ask him. And he thinks and thinks, and he winds up calling the car after the
founder of Detroit.
Yeah, the founder of Detroit, the French, I think he was...
Antoine de la Mouthe Cadillac.
Okay, you say it better than I can, but
I don't know about that, but I do know when I was in Detroit, I learned he was the guy that named Detroit in 1901. I mean, what am I saying, 1901?
1901.
1701.
Oh, okay.
Because they had the 300th anniversary, was it 2001,
okay.
Right?
So then I learned something.
Antoine. De la Mouthe.
De la Mouthe?
Cadillac.
Cadillac.
Now, in America, we say Cadillac.
Cadillac, yeah.
There it is, folks.
Normally, the only French I generally know is Chevrolet Coupe.
Very good. Dom Perignon with that burger.
Yeah, right.
Ace Miller.
Yes.
We're staying late at the studio in East West Motors, connecting to talk about history and automobiles. What better topic?
Well, it's kind of interesting stuff. You know, it's not cars in particular. It's people. And the stories are really quite amazing.
Yeah, well, they are. And you are great. And class has been in session, so folks, we're about to dismiss you to your weekend activities. But you now know the birthplace of Cadillac was this setting where Henry Ford had his second automobile company. And I guess you can figure out a trivia question. What was Henry Ford's third automobile company? The Ford Motor Company, 1903. Right. Another day for another topic. Ace Miller.
Yes.
I know your bride is waiting at home.
Right.
All right. Thanks for all shared moments with you.
Lots of fun.
Never a dull moment.